Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Germany has a new president after his two predecessors had to resign with disgrace. Joachim Gauck was overwhelmingly approved by the German people and also the parliament as their new president, and most look at him very positively. He is originally from East Germany, and he has made himself a name for fighting against the Stasi, the East German police force. But he is also a person over whom is a little bit of a dark cloud in the minds of some. Because he is a pastor who lives together with a woman, not his wife, while still being married. Now, most Germans gloss over this, but some have raised some questions. I'd like to read to you from an article by Der Spiegel Online, dated February 20, that was before he actually was elected, pointing out that he and his partner, journalist Daniela Schardt, are living together, and the pastor has long been separated by his wife without being divorced, and they are having four children together. At the same time, we are told that the pastor has been repeating for years as a sort of traveling preacher of domestic values his message. And we are also being asked the question in the local, dated February 22, whether we should have a president, whether it's Germany or whether it's any other country, who lives in such blatant, quote-unquote, sin. This article says, Germans generally agree that Joachim Gauck is a good choice for president. But can the ex-pastor be the nation's moral authority while staying married to one woman, yet living with another, set to become first lady? And then they say, have your say. And so the people then were asked to give their opinion. And as you can imagine, the opinion which was given was unanimously, almost unanimously, like, oh, it's no problem. However, there is a problem. And I will talk about this, not just limiting it to the situation in Germany, also including what's happening here in the United States of America, in Great Britain, in Canada, Australia, and other places. The title of this program, as you will know, is The Decline of Moral or Morals in Our Western World. And we see it daily, almost daily. The mass tabloid Bild, a very prominent German piece of junk, as some would say it, they wrote a commentary. And they say, oh, well, this is great that we now have a president who lives together with his lover, because it shows how modern Germany has become. And it's great that he stands to his lover without keeping her in the dark. And they say, they're just a beautiful couple. Today, President Gauck was inaugurated, and then he gave a speech, and again it's Bild, which wrote, this president will not hide Christianity, but he will show how to live it. My friends, the Bible is very clear as to what true Christianity is, and living together without being married is not true Christianity. And for a pastor to live in that way, that's even worse. Because he is giving the absolute wrong example to those who look at him. And especially in Germany, it's almost common now for people living together first, before they get married, if at all. My friends, the same trend can be observed here in this country. And it is high time that we wake up to what the Bible has to say about these things. It's not just living together without being married, which is wrong. It's also living in adultery. In other words, you are being married to another person who was not free to remarry, or you might not have been free to remarry. That is happening all the time. It's wrong. You see, my friends, when God binds a marriage, and I'm not saying that every marriage is bound by God. I mean, if you just go to a magistrate, if you don't even believe in God, if you're atheists, then obviously that marriage isn't bound by God because God has nothing to do with it. or if you are being married by a pastor, that all by itself doesn't necessarily tell you that it's bound by God. But if the biblical requirements are fulfilled and God is binding this marriage, that marriage is bound for life. There are only a few examples and a few exceptions. Christ says one is fornication or adultery. The other one is if the unbeliever departs from the marriage, no longer being pleased to dwell with a married person, the believing person, then there is grounds for divorce and subsequent remarriage. But these are very limited exceptions. I have seen many circumstances where marriages have been conducted where the parties were not free to get married. And Christ gives a strong warning. He says, if you do that, you are committing adultery, because the person you are now marrying to is not free to remarry. And the same is true, of course, for fornication, meaning you are living together without being married. Remember the famous example where the woman came to Jesus Christ when he was sitting at the well of Jacob. And Christ is asking her, where's your husband? And the woman said, well, I have no husband. Now, Christ knew exactly what the situation was, because he answered her and said, you have said rightly, because you have been married several times, and the man you are living with right now is not your husband. So when I read that scripture, I think what Christ was saying to the woman was, where is your husband? Making clear to her that the state she was living in was not acceptable in the eyes of God. As Bob Dylan once wrote, the times are changing. And yes, they are to an extent, but then on the other hand, there's nothing new under the sun. Nevertheless, think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist told Herod, you are living together with the wife of your brother. And that got him into jail, and he was later beheaded because he stood up for what was the truth of God. Later, Paul had to correct the church in Corinth because they had become so tolerant that they allowed open fornication and adultery permeating in the church with a young man who apparently lived together with either his mother or his stepmother. And Paul said, and you have been proud over this. You have been puffed up over this rather than mourning that such an evil thing should happen and excommunicating this person, suspending this person from attending church. Now, the church at Corinth repented, and they did suspend him. And then that person repented. And then Paul says, now, after he has genuinely repented, has shown by his conduct that he is truly sorry what he has been doing, invite him back to church. But action had to be taken first. Today in this society we are living in, it seems like everything goes. You know, somebody has asked me once why I don't vote in governmental elections. And my answer was, because politics to me is just dirty business. And let me repeat this. Dirty business. I'm using these words quite purposefully. You know, if you want to become the president of the United States of America, you have to be the president for all the people. But you see, that's not what God says. When Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he is not going to compromise with godly standards. He is not going to say, well, you know, well, marriage, that's just between a man and a woman, but, you know, let's accept civil unions. Let's tolerate a lifestyle which the Bible calls abominable. Christ is not going to speak about the Holy Quran. He is not going to say, you can just worship any god you want. He is not saying you can live in adultery. You can live in fornication. You don't have to be married. You know, you add the list. I mean, you look at the Ten Commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, and you know that Christ is going to enforce those. And he is not going to compromise with morals only because he wants to be elected by the people. Everybody likes me. You see, that's what's wrong with us today, that nobody is willing to stand up for the truth of God. That's why politics is dirty business, which is predicated on the concept of compromise. My friends, it's high time we wake up. What we are seeing in Germany is just an example. It's happening today, that's why I'm bringing it up, but it should all wake us up to the fact that our morals and our Western world are going downhill. It's time to stand up for God. It's time to stand up for what the Bible says. And I'm not talking about political campaigns. I'm talking about your own personal life. See, when Christ comes back in a few years from now, he will enforce God's law. And it's time that we at this point already choose to live by God's law. Because God tells us, choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. Reject the wrong, no matter from what corner it comes. Reject it. Choose the right way. Choose the right way of thinking, and then, of course, of acting. My friends, I plead with you, choose the right things. Don't be embarrassed by standing up for God. Choose what's right in God's eyes. And so again, I ask you, please choose the right. So what are you choosing? Until next time, this is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.